sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, we're back. We're back. Episode 2, Red Light Special. Chris, what up?
What's up? What's up?
What's up? I'm Rob Markman. This is my co-host, Kristen Coral. You are now listening to the Red Light Special podcast. What you just heard was the sounds of Jake and Papa. They have our intro music. And honestly, I didn't think we'd be here, but they really like us.
Really digging us. I thought so. You didn't think so?
I didn't know because I'm a hip-hop dude. I mean, you know, they know me from interviewing all the rappers and just a hardcore hip-hop head. So when I said I'm doing an R&B podcast, I think a lot of people look sideways. But, man, the reaction was beautiful to the first episode. Shout out, first of all, to Mag Wiles for coming through and being our very, very, very first guest.
Big special thanks to Mac.
Yeah, that was good, man. He ain't had to do that, but he had to do that. I said, bro.
You ain't have to, but you had to.
Yeah, man. You know, the feedback is crazy on Twitter. You guys are hitting us up. Jodeci versus Boyz II Men. I feel like we're still having this argument every day for the past week.
They are not letting it go.
You changed your mind yet, Jodeci?
No. Listen, everybody was saying Jodeci on Twitter recently, right? I mean, since we've dropped this, the Jodeci craze has been crazy. But I think slowly but surely people are warming up to Boyz II Men. So I think it's an ego thing with the guys especially that they're too scared to say that they're like Boyz II Men. But
baby.
There you go.
I know you was out there listening to that other podcast. I knew about it. But nah.
You're stupid.
Nah, it's crazy. First of all, you was backtracking last time because you was doing Boyz II Men. And then by the end of the episode, you was definitely on the Jodeci train. But even before that, like...
I dig both.
I feel like it ends up everywhere now. Like, I was on thisisrnb.com and, you know, because I usually go there to kind of check out for my R&B
music.
Well,
they're huge on R&B, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw a clip of Anthony Hamilton singing Freaking You. And I was like, I've never seen this before. And here goes Anthony Hamilton. I feel like Jodeci and Boyz II Men are everywhere now since we brought it up in the air. So
yeah, you know, it happens like that, but I do feel like it's popping out a little bit more to me too since we've dropped the episode.
Right, so we're here, episode 2. Who knew? Chris, what you been up to? What's been going on this past week?
Whew. It has been one hell of a weekend, actually. I actually shot 2 scenes from the movie that I'm doing. We actually mentioned it in the first episode, You, Me, Him, and Her by Al Patrone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going really great. I've been getting really great feedback off of it. And actually, I wanted to shout out, some people may not know him, but it's a guy from LA. His name is Anthony Mandel. And I just took an acting workshop with him for the weekend. So that's pretty much what I was doing all weekend. And I was around a group of just amazing actors and him as an acting coach and just learned a lot. So great weekend. Shout out to him. But you, what have you been up to? Mr. Popular over here.
I don't know how popular I am. I just been busy. I was out in Miami last week. I was supposed to, for MTV, where I work. If, for those of you who don't know, I work for MTV during the day. And we were supposed to go out to a Ray J set visit for his Brown Sugar song with him and Lil Wayne.
Okay.
So I flew out to Miami, but that didn't work out.
What? That was a flop?
Yeah, it was a flop, so we chilled on South Beach for a little bit.
So you didn't do much working. You know what? You got to enjoy every once in a while.
I smoked hookah for the first time.
Oof. So light skin of you.
I felt like Joe Budden. I didn't know. I don't know what the big deal is, man. Y'all got to hit me up on Twitter at Raw Mark, man, and let me know what the hookah craze is.
Listen. I think hookah is as light-skinned as you can get as a male.
Right.
As a man, it's as light-skinned as you can go.
It wasn't my idea. I was with a group of people, and they was like, yo, let's order a hookah. And I was like, I've never tried this shit before. And they was like, well, just try it. So they ordered it. I didn't know how to order it. I did it. I'm like, I didn't know if I was supposed to be high. I didn't get the point of this
shit. It's not weed.
Then what's the point?
There is no point. That's what I'm saying. It's as light skin as you can get as a man. There's no point. You just look cool blowing out some air. That's
you're gonna chill with the light skin jokes because I smoked hookah once. I'm done. There's no reason for me to do it again. It just didn't do anything for me.
I guess you got to try everything once, right?
Not everything.
Okay.
But we're here and we got a dope guest today.
When we talk about artists, this guy right here is just one of the most talented individuals in music. And I don't know if he gets the credit that he deserves, but he works hard in the studio and he has this star power about him. You know, I'm going to talk him up a little bit. I mean, he started out his career with Usher, right? Like, who starts out their career with Usher writing on Confessions? Like, that's diamond. So right out the bat, you got a diamond plaque. He wrote Throwback with Usher, right? And then my man came out, and since then, he did, like, Kerry Hilson's Energy. Remember Kerry Hilson?
Energy was dope.
It was a dope song. He did Beyonce Sweet Dreams.
Pleasure P Boyfriend.
Yeah, he did Boyfriend Number Two.
He did There Goes My Baby.
Hold on.
That
Boyfriend Number Two, though. It's a rough spot to be in. Sometimes a good spot to be in. Sometimes number two, you just...
You know what? Some people want to be number two. Some people are okay with that, so...
That's right. But, yeah, you said Usher, There Goes My Baby.
Yep.
And Trey Songz' Heart Attack. And one of your favorites?
Kelly Motivation.
That's right.
Which everybody loves.
And then he dropped his debut EP like 2 years ago, the Street Luxury EP, you know what I'm saying, with They Don't Know. It was just such a dope body of work that I think people slept on. But now here he is with his debut album, Turn the Lights On. I mean, none other. I mean, we talked him up, man. Rico Love.
What up?
We need a round of applause, though. Yeah. Bro. Rico Love, man. When are you not working? Like, how your pen must be on fire.
You know what? I'm always working. Even when I'm with my kids and my phone is on, I'm still making moves. They understand daddy gotta work. I just believe in forward motion always.
Right.
Never be stagnant. And I love what I do. So, you know, it's like you get a thrill and a rush from doing what you doing what you love. You never want to stop working.
Right. Hi, and you definitely haven't stopped working since you came on the scene, I feel like 2004. Like, you know, just the credits alone is crazy. Like, there's some people who could retire after that. And I feel like you're in the phase now where now it's artist time. Because you haven't written a record for someone else in a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think the last hit I had was Odios for Romeo Santos. That was the last hit record I wrote for somebody else. I'm not going to say the last hit I had, but it was the last hit I wrote for somebody else. Right. And, you know, I just took a break. I just didn't want to, I wasn't having fun anymore doing that. Not because of the actual act of writing songs for people. I think it was the politics afterwards that was annoying me and dealing with the, you know, different politics when you put out a record. There's so much you want to do with a record. That's your baby. It's like you holding that. That's precious to you. And in a record company or artist to take it and just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to make it a single. Oh, no, we're not going to make it a single. We're going to do this with the album. We're not going to do this. It's like the thing you love is in limbo. I want to have power. I don't like being in a position where I can't demand things. So I think to become a superstar as an artist will give me a different type of, a different level of power as a writer. Imagine if Kanye West was to say, all right, I want to do your album. And the only way you're going to do this album is if you do it like this. Who's going to say no to that?
You want the control.
I want to be able to control it. Not because, not on the like hierarchy, you know. You know, I want to be diplomatic about it, but I just want to be able to say, I want my input to mean something because I know what I'm talking about, you know. And there's so many different people in power who don't even respect the art. They're just trying to go for a right now record. And I believe in substance. I believe in quality.
So the transition from songwriter to artist, I mean, you're still a songwriter, but feels like one about control. Now you're more in control of your own destiny.
I write my own records. I put out my own records. I own my company. You know, I know what I want, and I do. I go for it.
Will you ever write for somebody again?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I just want to be able to be in a power position next time I do it.
Right. What's up? I mean, you started with Usher. Like, this is so crazy to me. Like, I don't know how you come out the gate on Confessions. That's like Derek Jeter coming into the league and winning the World Series as a rookie. Like, that don't happen to regular people.
Yeah, you know what? It's a blessing. You know, I came in the game and was fortunate enough to be involved in that type of project. And to be able to be a part of the album that sells so much and that being the first song I wrote, it was like, all right, now the true work begins, because you kind of started so high. Now you got to prove yourself, because it's like you got lucky on this one. And after that, you know, over time, you had to really consistently do it over the years. And I'm blessed enough to say that I have the work ethic, and I trust the process, and I respect the business, and I respect music so much that I work hard at it. So I don't want to make it seem like it's about me. It's more about the music than anything.
What was Throwback the first song that you wrote, or the first song that you placed?
First song I ever wrote.
You ever wrote, period?
I was a rapper. I was a rapper. That's it. I was rapping. I wasn't writing songs. I wasn't, you know, Usher told me, yo, I see something special in you, and the way you do your rhymes is melodic. That's back before rappers was doing that. This in 2003. Wasn't right. Nobody doing melody in their raps, and I was doing that. So he saw something special in me, and he said, you'd have liked to rap R. Kelly. It was back in the day. I was like 19. And I was like, you know what? If you want me to write this song, let's do it. I didn't really take it serious. I wrote it. I went in the office and played it for them, and they was like, oh, everybody's going crazy. Usher was like, oh, you know. And then, you know, the rest is history.
It's hard to say that song has any standout records, because they're all standout records.
Yeah, that album was incredible.
But that's a standout record.
Yeah, that was. But that was one of those times where before singers were singing over rap beats.
Right. Just Blaze produced it.
It was one of those dark beats, and nobody could write to it. And that was the thing. He said, everybody tried to write to this beat. I think you could nail it. And, you know, I nailed it.
That's dope. And what's your relationship like with Usher now? You guys,
my best friends. One of my best friends in the whole world. I just was with him in L.A. He showed me his new house he just bought out there, and he's been hanging out, vibing, you know. That's my homie.
He got this new album coming. Y'all got some work on there?
Yeah, we gonna get in and do some more stuff. You know, we worked on a song that he had put together with Paul Antwerp. So I just kind of added some, my little spin on it.
Okay.
You know, but we gonna be building a lot.
All right. Man, because he needs, I like where he's going. I ain't mad at that new record.
Which one?
Get the Money.
Nah, that's trash.
Keeping it real.
Nah, he
fuck
don't,
being diplomatic.
Nah, even now, I'm kidding. Even Usher don't really care for that record.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not a record.
But does that bother you? Because I feel like artists nowadays, like you said, people put out a record because they know it's what's going
to
sell, it's what's going
to
get on the radio,
it's
what the labels will kind of force them,
yeah,
the direction
the game
to go
right
in.
Now, you know, and I think that record leaked and it just took off. You know, but at the end of the day, when you make something you're proud of, you sleep better at night. You feel cool. Especially when you see the bigger artists making substance and making real records, and you out here singing some, you know what I mean? And Usher's a true, honest artist. And he you know, I don't believe that he stands behind that record totally. He ain't even shoot a video for it.
My only problem with that record was, I mean, it feel good for right now. My only problem is that I was hearing these Migos ad-libs, and I was like, okay, Quavo about to drop a verse, and it was a Juicy J, but they put the Okie Doke. I was like, hold on, I was
but
confused.
But that's been a lot, because, you know, shout out to Rock City, they wrote that record. Okay. They've been doing that a lot. They've been putting, like, Migo-type ad-libs on all of the records.
Right.
They did it on the Sierra record.
Right, oh, that's a fact. See,
these dudes are super talented, though, so I can't take nothing away from them. They super duper talented.
They definitely, Rock City, right? Rock I feel City. Like Planet Six Incredible. Now. I feel like they changed their name.
Yeah, they Planet Six now.
Planet
right?
Six now, yeah.
Super dope. Them, like, guys who came up with me in the business.
Who did you come up in terms of songwriters? Like, I remember you told this story, and it was a dope story, and you made me look it up. Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah.
And a song called Danny Boy, right?
Nah, he had a song called Natasha.
Natasha, okay.
That was genius. He told his girlfriend he was gay.
His song.
It was genius. You know why I was genius? Because I used to be extremely homophobic. Like, I used to, like, if a gay guy walked in here right now, I would be so annoyed. Like,
did that change because of that situation?
I listened to that song, and it made me empathize for him. And that's what music should do. That's what a song should do. You should be able to bring me into your world and make me look at you a different way. So from that moment on, I said, what am I doing? Like, this man, he's dealing with a lot.
Right.
You think he wants to wake up and feel different than everybody else around him? That's very uncomfortable for him. And he's saying, oh, Natasha, all I can do is write a song for you. That's all I can do. And it was so genius the way he put it together. And it made me look at him like, wow. He said something like, you walk alone like a baby unborn, like a father unknown, like a pocket penniless. And I said, oh, my, that is... And at that point, I realized, what am I thinking? I'm 21 years old at the time. I'm like, you're out here not liking guys because of their own sexual... That's their business.
Right.
Your people. And it grew me up real fast, and it let me know the power of songs. And that's why I respected him so much from that point forward. His album, One is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Well, that's one of your strengths as a songwriter. Like, you kind of cut right to the heart of the matter, you know, and it's uncomfortable listening to your record sometimes.
Yeah, man.
You know, like,
that's what I want.
Like on this new album, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but like this new album, like For the Kids, like is an uncomfortable conversation to have, or on Trifling when you're like, you almost told your boyfriend that I loved you. What type of shit is that?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what, it happens.
It's like, because I don't even know your nigga like that. And you be with some girls who know my girl, but that's all though.
You do you feel like music lets you escape into telling truths about things that normally you don't have in conversation?
My job is to say the things that you don't know how to say and articulate. Sometimes you can't remember. I remember being a kid and you didn't know how to say something to a girl when you would dedicate a song to her.
Facts.
I remember back when you had to call.
When you actually dedicated songs.
I don't know how. I don't want to show my age, but you know, when I remember as a kid, you had to call a radio. And say, I want to dedicate this song to Tasha. And you'd be like, yo, listen to the radio at 10 o'clock.
Right.
The song for you.
We definitely did.
And
that.
That's. You know, and that's what our music is supposed to do. I'm supposed to articulate those kind of conversations. I had three guys today call me. One of them cried on the phone and talked about For the Kids. He said, wow. Bro, he was on the phone crying.
Wow.
He said, man, I'm in a situation where I don't even know if I want to be here. And this is killing me. And you said exactly how I feel, you know?
Wow.
Give me joy. Give me violence. Give me noise. Give me silence. Hear my voice. Feel my torment. But don't rejoice when I lay dormant. America told me what I should feel, and there it was. To my surprise, I knew that nothing's real. And those clouds, they come around when it rains. But don't get too comfortable. Just stand there and take it, even if you gotta fake it. Think about that.
Jesus, man.
You know what I mean?
Deep.
And then now you got guys just like, poke it out, twerk it up, pop it up, girl, you're so fine.
Right.
All the time.
Substance. There's no substance anymore.
But here's the thing. You're a dude who and this goes back to the songwriting, right? You frequent the strip clubs.
Yeah.
And that atmosphere, and that's in your music, but it's
deeper. All about being smart enough to articulate in a way that can be... That the genius is not in the content. The genius is how you deliver the content. And I feel like... Let me tell you something. Kurt Cobain, one of the greatest artists of all time, one of the greatest writers of all time, one of the dopest voices, one of the craziest.
I thought you said Kurt Cobain. I was just trying to see what
you meant.
Kurt Cobain, Nirvana. I got you.
Nirvana. I'm listening to him and I watched his documentary and he said, I want to make $3 million and I want to just be a junkie for the rest of my life. That's all I care about, right? How many young kids say the same? I just want to smoke weed and get high all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody empathizes for them. You know why? Because in his music, he showed how painful it was to be him. He showed what he was going through and he talked about it and he made us, when he died, it was like, oh, poor Kurt Cobain. He killed himself. He had everything. We right. said poor Kurt Cobain. You know why we said poor Kurt Cobain? Because we knew he was struggling with so many demons. Mm. Now imagine this, the same type of kid from the projects. All he talks about is I drink lean, I smoke weed. Now let's give an example of his life. His mother's a crackhead. His father pimped on her. His uncle sell dope. His brother's a drug dealer. His sister was molested by his uncle. These are the type of things that are going on in our communities. But we don't speak about that. We just say, I like to smoke. I like to drink. So when we die, not by our own suicide, when the police murder us, nobody feels sorry for. Nobody's crying for us. You know why? Because we don't express our pain. It looked like a fucking party.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at our lifestyle, you look at the songs, you listen to the radio, and look at how we live in, you don't see, oh man, they're dealing with a lot of sadness. Nah, man, they're getting high and having a good time.
Okay, though, but I mean, and this is something that we talked about, but Adele don't go through that. Sam Smith don't go, like,
doesn't
this
go through
is expressive
what?
Music.
Doesn't go through what?
They go through it and can express themselves
Adele
in their music.
You know what I mean? Her drinking problem is well known to the public.
Right, but what, no, what I'm saying is in her music
she
expresses.
She talks about the pain. So what I'm trying to tell you is the reason why we respect and felt sorry for Amy Winehouse when she passed away was because it was in her music.
Right.
All we talk about is the turn up and the fun of it and this, and that. And when we talk about real pain, radio rejects it. They won't play it. Its research is bad. And all these type of things, technical things come into play when you talk about these type of records as a black artist. But we just turn up and have a good time and party and party and party. So on the outside looking in, nobody can say, well, they going through so much. I can't tell they going through something. All these records is about how great of a time they having, how much champagne they popping, all this. So what I'm telling you is, if we speak about the things we really dealing with, and not saying there's nothing wrong with having party records and none of that, because I love those too, but if we speak to about what's really going on with us, when Tupac spoke as a rapper, he would say, He was the same guy holding his nuts and drinking Hennessy with no shirt on the stage with 400 chains on. But he also said, Britney's got a baby. He also said, I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. He also made, I ain't mad at you. Right. He also made, you wonder why they call you bitch.
Dear
and
mama.
I think, dear mama. And all these things. So you made her understand, when I was young and my mama had me, 17 years old, kicked down in the streets. What? And we understood his pain and his struggle. And we understood his triumph. We understood his failures. Now artists are just talking about the party. What girl they can get. Lean on this, lean. I'm drinking this. So if something happens to us, it's impossible for a country, a nation of people who don't, who never experienced what it's like to be black or never see us. The reason why I use Rufus Wayne as an example is because he pulled his music. He pulled me into his music. He made me understand what he went through, and I empathize with him. We're not making people empathize.
But who's to blame for that? Do you feel like the artists are in full control of their music and given the platform to do that? Or do you feel like the labels kind of push them in
the turn-up music direction? Label can't tell artists to do nothing no more. They're doing this because this is what they're comfortable doing. They're finding these artists like this.
But let me ask you a question then. How hard is it, and you know this because you're writing pain, and a lot of times, I would imagine a lot of artists are scared.
They don't even. It's not that they're scared. They think that this is formula. They believe that's how it works.
Well, is it hard? Is it hard for you? The pain that you write. Do you ever get in an instance where you write something and you're like, damn, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Damn.
When I wrote for the kids, I felt like that. I felt like this is a very touchy subject. When I wrote The Proposal, and I wrote The Affair, and I'm like, these are titles. That's
the whole album.
Yeah.
When I wrote my whole album.
Yeah, man. This was touchy situations, you know? And this was real life. This is my real life experience.
Was there any
imagine trifling.
That you
imagine
put
you
on
wrote
there?
Trifling. You, yeah. You know? Like, that's like.
You're supposed to keep that to yourself, bro. That's
but
in
let
the
me
vault.
Tell you, I'm going
to
tell you some real shit. This is some real shit, right? Baller Alert, Shade Room. They make so much money off our personal lives.
Right.
And you know what gets the most hits? Drama.
Right.
So why can't, the smartest thing for me to do is to present the drama in a way that's true. At least I'm saying the truth.
Right. You damn sure saying the truth, bro.
Yeah.
This song is maybe one
it's
of
what
most
people are too. I feel like everybody goes, it's a great album, and I feel like when people hear it, they'll say, oh shit, like, you know? But it's what people are too scared to say, and yeah. I feel like if you can come out and say these things and have people relate to you, I mean, why not?
I don't know, bro. You tell me you love my girl.
Let me tell you that situation.
Let me tell you that situation.
It's like this, right? You hanging out with some friends and you're like, I know homie. I know Rob. He's a cool guy. I don't know him like that, but that's he cool. I fuck with him. And then you see his shorty somewhere and you're like, what's up? Well, you know my dude. I don't know him like that. Know your nigga, but I don't know him like that. Ain't my man. So then imagine he come around and Rob like, oh, I gotta go pick up my shorty, and you 2 seconds from saying, oh, I love that bitch. Oops, I almost told your boyfriend that I loved you. Every time nigga mention you, I just think about, damn, that's my bitch. You know what I mean?
Trifling.
And that's trifling. That's that bullshit. We both on bullshit.
I thought he was cool, bro. I thought he was cool. Anybody can get it.
Nah, Rob, my man. I ain't going out like that with Rob Markman. That's my brother.
Shit.
Now, your homie, I don't know that nigga.
Yeah, listen.
Your homeboy.
As long as you don't fuck with mine. Yeah. You don't know Rico like that.
I don't know your man, though.
This is how men think.
Yeah, man.
And listen, this is a jewel for you. For this is expressive. Because also, men don't get many albums like this, right? Like, I think,
man,
my life.
It's crazy. What, so many people, and that's, I'm happy that you said that. It's been so many men hitting me up like, bro, this you really talking
to? Yo, I can name them on one hand. Like, for women, y'all had Mary J. Blige, My Life was very expressive and emotional and allowed you to vent. Lauryn Hill, Miss Education.
Even
like,
Kelly's album.
All of that. Like, we have... I feel like Donnell Jones had one with his second one with The Way I Want to Be. He said something that every dude wanted to say on that single. Carl Thomas had one.
Emotional was incredible.
You know?
Usher Confessions. That was the top. That was like the most honest.
I mean, the title says it
when
all.
When he said, every time I was in L.A., I was with my ex-girlfriend, everybody's like, no! Don't tell her, Usher!
That makes you cringe.
Oh my God! Every time you called, I said, "Baby, I'm working. I was out doing my dirt. Wasn't thinking about you getting hurt. Hand in hand in the Beverly Center, like, man, not giving a damn who sees me. I was like, I was there when he did that, and I was sitting in the studio like, oh shit,
it's about to be some shit.
It's gonna be some shit.
It's gonna be some shit. That and
that's wild.
And the last one that I can name on one hand is when The Dream dropped that 1977 album, when him and Christina Milian was going through it. That Wake Me When
You Love That album.
Yo, that shit is everything that a dude ever wanted to say to his chick, but couldn't.
I never heard that record. I gotta hear that record.
You gotta hear that record. And then Turn the Lights On. I feel like it's in that. Like it's
and it's been so long since somebody put out an album. You know what I mean? That especially that men can run to because you put guys, it out in a way that men can't be like
I'm gonna
shy
tell you
away
something.
From it.
I had a conversation with the artist. I won't say who it is, but they were like, "I was gonna make that a single, but the other one was better, so I'm just gonna put it on an album." I'm like, "That's how you treat your album? I'm just gonna put it on the album." I'm strategically placing songs on the album. I'm playing with the sequence and trying to figure out. Listen, I listen to the sequence of the song for 3 months straight, like changing the order. Like, nah, this way. Nah, I'll start with this. No, this going. I don't think it should. That's how serious I took this project. I was like, I need a whole string section right here. I need the bass line to change and go up there. I need to change the whole production on this certain record right here. I need the beat to change on the intro. I need the whole dubstep part to come in. I need Waka Flocka to come and give me ad-libs on this record.
I don't need the verse. I just need the ad-libs.
I had Waka Flocka do ad-libs on TTLO. I was like, it has to be this. I need Raekwon to do this verse on this record.
That was like a Wu-Tang beat.
It can't be anybody else on this record except Raekwon.
That was like a lot.
Imagine how much time you spend on that type of record and people just put out songs like they don't give a shit. I couldn't do it.
I can't hear nobody else but Wu-Tang on this.
Come on, man. Come on, man. And niggas got fucking on my rap shit too. I'm sick of niggas hating on my rap shit.
We gonna get into
this. This shit just makes me wanna like
bad attitude, yeah. But she thick though.
We gonna get into the rapping thing. But first, I mean, there's not a lot of features on this album. I'd imagine as many times as you lent your pen to somebody else, like there's not too many people that Rico Love can't call and be like, I need a verse. And Ray is a legend. That's my man. Like, but he's not the one that you move put on your album when you want to sell it. Like, that's like an artistic choice.
And nothing I did on this project was for gimmicky or like, I mean, let me sell this. No, I want to make music that felt good to me. You've been writing your first album your whole life. I dreamed of this moment. Why not? I got the opportunity to put somebody on my album who I had dreams of working with. Do it. For what? Why? Okay, so I'm going to try to conform to some people who don't buy music anyway? No. I'm going to make the record that means something to me, and I guarantee you this album is going to sell. Now, it may take a while. You know what I mean? People will discover it. But the best and greatest promotion of all time is word of mouth.
Right.
It's no absolutely. Other promotion. People mentioned today I had 3,000 new followers on Instagram and Twitter. 5,000 on Twitter. Just because of the interview I did. Because word of mouth spreads. And people all day long were saying, I ain't never heard of you, bro, but I'm buying your album. I can't front load. The way you talking, I gotta buy this album. You know, showing me screenshotting just to prove to you I just bought it. Look, I just bought it.
You know, I've been talking it up on Twitter. Just because when we find something that we love, we go in. Chris been talking it up too. Like, we was texting each other all week. Like, yo,
I heard
for
the kids in front of my sister. She got a kid. I live with my nephew. She's like, wait, who is this? Now she's not too into like, she's into rock and she don't hear like hip hop R&B. Who is this? I'm like, you got to hear the album.
Hey Kim.
Hey Kim.
But
it's real, man.
Word, man. Like people was hitting me up. Like, yo, I wasn't even checking for this album, so I seen Rob tweeting about it. Thank you. And I'm like, man, I ain't do shit. Yeah, I just tweet it.
That's for sure.
You know?
People respect your ear and respect what you got to say. That's why I don't know if many people know, but I set up personally for Rob to hit a month before.
Yeah.
2 months before we even, you know.
And I was just waiting because I didn't want people to feel like it was the cheat code. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I was knocking myself in the head. I was supposed to be there that night and I couldn't make it.
I told you to come.
And he was talking about it every single day after. I'm like,
yeah.
I got to pre-order it. And when that drops,
yeah. And
I'm all ears.
I just wanted somebody I respected because I know Rob would keep it a buck. And he'd be like, I don't know, Reed. You know, this one is it. This, and he got it right away. And I was like, man, when somebody says wow 5 times,
right?
You know, a guy like this, you know, who's, you know, he's survived the most craziest rants from artists of all time, you know. And he's been attacked viciously by artists so many times.
Oh, God.
And he still be like, yo, I'm sorry, bro. I got to keep it a buck.
You're right. But, you know, we wasn't that cool, though, because he ain't let me leave the studio with him. I was just going to, you know, hold that.
Nah,
but
I wasn't finished, though. I would have given
What I needed, though, and one listen was dope. And then I went to your listening session in New York a couple weeks ago, and that was dope. But it's really when you have it and you play it and you live with it and you listen to it when you're driving the car or, you know, when you cleaning your house or washing your dishes or working out. Like, if I work out in the morning, I like to listen to R&B. It's the most ass-backward shit. But in the morning, I listen to just, you know, slow music. And when you live with it in your life and then you figure out how it relates to you and this shit.
I couldn't work out with it just because the lyrics, they go a little deep. I feel like you use a lot of metaphors in your songs.
Yeah.
So they have double meanings and stuff. So I had to, there's even a song that's in there that's a minute and something long. And I'm like, wait, hold it. I got to rewind this back. Like, I got to hear word for word, like what's being said.
Run from me.
Right. Which is crazy.
Right. That one too. Like, also the musical choices, not just the lyrics that you sang. Like, we spoke about it. Like, it's not now. It's not for right now. It feels like there's no time.
Exactly.
You listen to that and, like,
and
run
that's
from me.
What music should be. It should be timeless. It never should be an expiration date. It's no expiration date on something that you're emotionally connected to. Right, period. Right. When you hit Don't Stop Believing right now by Journey, still for the same. It's my shit.
Like, that's music.
Should have just so smooth, right?
All live instruments, too. Shout out to Jack Splash for producing this record.
I thought Smokey Robinson was going to just come through or something. It was crazy.
I love that you use so much piano in this, too.
Maybe I'm not ready for. Maybe I'm not ready to be honest with you.
Here you go. Here you go.
Maybe I just wanna fuck. Relationships can only lead to problems with you.
Again, what's the real life component of saying that? Like, you're in the studio alone.
Let me explain exactly what this song is. I was broken up with my girl. 3 months I hadn't even seen her. Imagine you breaking up with somebody and you go. I purposely would send my assistant to get my son. I was so upset while she broke up with me. I was so upset that she broke with me that I said, all right, cool, you don't even get to see me. So I had this huge mansion in Golden Beach, white mansion. I had this my other crib, and I was like, you could see through the house. It was the most beautiful house ever. It looked like a glass house. You know what I mean? My pool was see-through and all this, and I had her apartment down the street. You know, an incredible apartment, but I had an apartment down the street, and I made it so that she couldn't even see me. You know what I mean? I see my son every day. I sent my assistant go pick up my son and bring him down the street. You know what I mean? 3 months, I never even seen her face. But I was in love with her. So I met this other chick, and we having a good time. We vibing. The girl never been to my house. She never, but I would, you know, see her out of town and hang out with her. We had a great, amazing chemistry. And one day, I woke up, and I told her, I can't deal with you anymore.
Wow.
After it's going incredible. And she said, what? She was so upset, cried and everything. And I said, whether it's a year from now, whether it's 2 months from now, whether it's 2 years from now, if she calls me back, I'm going to go back with her.
Right.
So you should run from me because this ain't going to work out. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it's just like, bro, in those situations, like, I'm going to be with my baby mother, so I don't know how. Now this is a situation where I did wrong. It's not a situation where I was in a relationship with this girl and we both hated each other. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted when you hear this. So girls would be like, well, see, he ain't going to never leave his baby. No, if he can't stand her, chances are, when it's over, don't worry about it. You're good. But it was a situation where she broke up with me.
Because you fucked up.
Exactly. And days go by, I explained it. At that time, I didn't even fuck up. I got broke up with on the time I was being good.
That's why I say,
ain't that always how it works?
Yeah, that's why I say it. Like the boy that cries wolf, the time he's supposed to win is when he loses. You know what I mean? And then I originally said the time I should have earned your trust is when I lose it. But I thought it sounded a little better in that way. So I told the girl, and I said, listen, whatever happens, I know this is crazy to you, but if she call me and say we need to be back together, I'm gonna do it, and I'm not gonna talk to you no more. It's just gonna be one of those things. So you need to know this, you know. So before we get crazy, she couldn't understand it, and you know. And we cool now, me and the girl, but she, like, that was the realest song I could ever wrote. And when people say, why is the song so short? I said, because that's all I wanted to say. Because
the relationship was already so short.
See, but I feel like that also has, like, you know, like I said, like, your whole metaphoric way of doing things, like, run from me. And you're explaining that your time was so short with this girl, and I felt like the song being short, like, just
and
different.
Said, it was no second verse for it. That's it. Mm-hmm. When people are like, oh, you can't force. You got to understand it. Get rid of format. Mm-hmm. Get rid of these structures that people place on you as songwriters, any aspiring songwriters, any aspiring producers. Stop following the formula. There is no formula. Creations, creativity is based upon what you think and what you feel. In this particular instance, I said, that's it. That's all I want to say. That's how I'm going to end the conversation. If I'd have went, it would have been like a run on.
Yeah.
That's it. Run from me.
That's and the it makes best people want more. Sometimes that's the best way to leave it. Just
exactly.
Come in.
I like that from Salaam Remy, because when he did that with Amy Winehouse album, those songs would be like 2 minutes. You know what I mean? And it would just stop.
Yeah. That's the second episode two. That's the second Salaam Remy reference. Yeah. I think we're just going to make one Salaam reference every episode.
Salaam is the greatest.
Keep it going.
Can I give a Salaam Remy story?
Go ahead, please.
All right, cool. So I meet Salaam Remy. I'm so excited. Everybody's like, this is when I was before I had super hits. I had maybe like a half a hit out on the radio. And I was bubbling. I was see how it works
he
in the
industry.
He
started out on Confessions. He said this is when I had half a hit.
He said he was bubbling.
But I was bubbling. But you still wasn't. I wasn't that guy. Ouch. So, Verdict was still out during the Confessions. So, people were like, how the industry works is, it's like everybody will talk about one little writer, producer, artist. Like, yo, he's coming up, and you know, you heard about blah blah blah. You heard about this person. He's next. I heard some songs in the studio. Nothing really on the radio yet, but I heard some. And that's where I was. That's the position I was in. So they was like, go down to Miami to work with. Salaam Remy. This is before I lived in Miami. So I go down there, and I go down there, and I'm sitting in the room with him. He walks in some flip flops, you know, like real cool fly, you know. And he says, "You ever heard an album called Hear My Dear by Marvin Gaye?" And I said, "Nah." He said, "Yeah, Marvin Gaye got a big divorce from his wife." And this is how he's talking. He had a big divorce from his wife, and his wife was Berry Gordy's sister. And in the divorce settlement, the judge granted that all the proceeds from his next album would go to his ex-wife, and he wrote songs about their relationship, and he called the album Here My Dear. And I said, oh, that's dope. He said, I want you to listen to that. I want you to listen to that tonight when you go to your hotel room. Listen to it. And I said, cool. Then he just stood back and looked at me and said, alright, nice meeting you.
And that was that.
And I drove way out there to work. He lived super far. I drove way out. Had a rental car. And like, you know. And I'm like, what you mean? No, I'll see you tomorrow. Good to meet you. And I went to my hotel room, And I listened to it. And listened to the album all night. And the next day I came in the studio and I wrote a song called Don't Know Why for Jamie Foxx. Me and him did it. And it was the most. If you can, please just Google this song. With this song,
was that on the Unpredictable album?
No, it was the album after Unpredictable. It was on.
And was that all inspired by Hear My Dear?
Yes, it was inspired by me listening to that album, me vibing, and we got in the studio the next day, and we did this record. And I was like, that, like the way he did that, the balls that it took to him to just be like, cool, peace.
What was the name of the record?
Don't know why.
Were you angry at all? That's all, you know, or were you very appreciative of?
I was too impressed by him to be angry. But I still, even my drive, I'm like, this shit's crazy. You know what I mean? I think that I always wanted to do something cool like that since then, but I was like, I don't want to force it. I don't want to just do it just because he did it. But it was just like, all right, cool. And the way he was like, listen to the song. Now, guess what that is? That's Marvin Gaye singing on it, but that's not that's real live Marvin Gaye vocals that he got. I wrote that song the next day. But that's real Marvin Gaye vocals up under there. As I hopped off the train, this shorty called my eye. Asked her for her name, she gave me no reply. She left me standing there with arrows in my heart. That's Marvin all day.
Right, that's
her. And that was Gene. And Salaam, just man, he always had a special part in my heart. And another thing Salaam did for me, I was in the studio all night writing. He calls me up. He says, "Yo, what you doing?" I said, "I just left the studio." He said, "Yo, I want you to write the theme song to Sex and the City movie. I'm gonna sing you the beat. Can you get back in the studio?" Yes, yes. I'm banging on the door. Please open the doors. Please, please. And I write this song. And the next day, I send it to him. And the next morning, I wake up. And, you know, he calls me. He's like, yo, what up? Yeah, I played the record for them. They love it. They want to make it the theme song for the movie. So I need you to come out to L.A. next week and cut it on Fergie. And we go. I'm like, my nigga, do you understand what you're telling me?
And he's
just,
voice
yeah,
ever.
Just like, yeah, we're going to have Fergie do it. And, you know, yeah, so this, and that. And so they was like in negotiations. See, movies is different now that I know. I would have did it different. He said, so how much you want for your writer's fee for it? And my manager was like, you know, back in the day, I was getting $2,500 to write a song. This is before I was producing records on top of getting producer fees, you know. Now I'm at $60,000, $70,000 and all that. So I was like, mom. 20,000.
Look away.
And he's like, okay, cool. I was like, fuck. God damn it.
Yo,
I should have asked for 50.
Yo, that was sexy.
Fucking
to see,
bro. To shot the movie. I was so mad, but I was, you know, it was cool, man. Those type of experiences, man. Those things you never, every story I'm telling you, y'all can see me gazing off because I can see it clear as day.
Right.
I can remember it. So when people talk to me about their little punk ass struggles and the shit, I'm like, bro, I've been there. And not only I've been there, but I see it right now. I can still remember all of the opportunities. I remember when things would happen for me. I remember how it felt in my stomach when I got good news. I remember how when I got bad news it felt. I remember all those things. So these things are so valuable to me because I'm looking back and I'm like, I remember how much money I had in the bank when these things were going down. You know what I mean?
Right.
$380, I never forget. $380 I had in the bank when they hit me up about that shit. You know what I mean? I look back on going to Salon Remy and I had like maybe $16,000. And I was feeling like, yeah, I'm, you know, got a little change.
Doing it.
You know what I mean?
Little and pocket change.
You didn't buy the Bendy Cash, then you wasn't buying the Bendy Cash, but you had something.
You know, I ain't had no whip back then. But it was just crazy how I could just put myself in that position. And you know what's nuts is, I feel now, I knew I was going to blow up as a songwriter when I did the Beyonce sessions. I knew it, right? And I got this same feeling right now in my stomach on my artist shit.
Mm.
I just feel like it's about to happen. And I've been getting that rumbling. And when I talk about I blew up, I blew the fuck up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was really kind of crazy, the levels of, you know, that was, I just was bugging out. And I look back on this and I'm like, I know what this feels like. I've been here before. I've been in that place where you like, hold on, man. I knew it. And I'm in the same, I feel like I'm in the same place right
That's
now.
That's dope. I hope so. If you are, and I know you are, I feel it too, but this is special because it's that special moment, like, right before everything happens for an artist. Like, for you, you're a veteran, but it still feels, you're a new artist.
I feel so new.
As an artist, you're new. You've always been writing for people, but this is a last time year, people it was see a
beat
you for
down.
You.
A song called Beat, a show called Beat Down in Miami. It's like the summer jam for Miami. And I opened up the show and they gave me 10 minutes, bro. Mm,
the sun was still up.
And imagine you like sitting there, you got millions in the bank in your hand, people looking at you like, no, actually it was a great show, but it was just like, I'm opening the show.
People still filing in.
Yeah, but I was like, damn, this is so humbling.
Right.
This is so extremely humbling to come out here. And I loved every minute of it.
Right.
I remember going doing shows. I did a show in Montreal, the last show of the tour with me and Future. And they put on 7 open acts before us. So, you know how it feels for artists to get on at midnight when the headline is supposed to be on at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the supporting. So by the time I get out there, imagine 3,000 people who are so upset and hot and sweating and ready to see Future.
They just want Future.
And I'm looking out here like, and they looking at me like this. Fuck is you doing?
Show us what you got.
So, you know, and it was like, damn, those moments where most people would be discouraged, I was like, this is so fucking dope that I'm able to, I'm starting over. And I know that it's like you conquered one thing and you realize, okay, cool, I'm going to conquer this so that I can conquer that other thing even greater.
Right.
I just believe in the process and I respect the process so much. I know that nobody asked me that question, but I just
said, it's all good, bro.
So I'm really glad you're here, Rico, because we do a relationship advice segment on our show where basically people send in emails every week and they explain something in their relationship or past relationships that have happened. And for the most part, they're either stuck in a situation where they don't know what to do and they kind of look to us for advice.
Okay.
And I have 2 really interesting emails that I got. I don't want to say any names. We tend to keep them anonymous.
I'm going to tell you something real quick, though. This is the man that I reach out to when I need advice. Okay? Okay. When I'm going through it, when you see some of them tweets and you be like, oh, she going through something. And yeah. I just hit record.
The ones we got to tell you to take down?
I don't take shit down. I ain't never take down a tweet of my head. They all up there. Down. I don't take shit down. But yeah, man, like, so he's perfect for this.
The first one is I'm stuck in between the two, literally. I was dating a guy for almost a year, and then suddenly we just grew apart. Now that I'm seeing someone new, he decides to pop back into my life. I like this new guy that I'm seeing, but I'm so tempted to give old guy another shot. I know I have to make up my mind, but I don't know where to even begin.
See, I wrote a song about it. Like to hear, here go.
You know what? You know what? If it's any question, I think what she should do is, if it's any question, she need to go and deal with that. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's not a comfortable feeling to be ever questioning anything. Like, what if? You need to go find out if that's what it is. And even you don't got to share it with him. You don't have to tell homeboy this is what you're doing. But you can say, I need a break right now. I really seriously need to figure some stuff out. And it's very uncomfortable right now. I know it's really odd, but I need to figure something out. And go out there. But don't tell him what you're doing, because he's not going to want to fuck with you knowing that you're winning.
So you mean she should to go she back to, into the past look, and see if it works and
see what happens? Because if there's any question there, you would kill yourself thinking of what if. And that's the thing that's the worst, the what if. So what you should do is just say, look, let me go and get to, I got some stuff I need to figure out. I want to put this on ice. If it's meant to be and you still, you know, and then we can work out. But if not, I can respect that too, but I got to figure this out. You know what I mean? But don't be in the middle and trying to play both, you know what I mean? Because if you do get found out, it's really difficult when a girl cheats. It hurts. Especially it hurts a different way. Because you guys can handle a certain level of pain that we can't handle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could deal with a lot more. Y'all can't. We can't. What's that? It's a meme they just posted. It's the dude crying at the Oscars. And he says, when you cheated on her 1,000 times and she cheated on you once, but she sucked his dick.
It's over.
It's like, no!
See, but I feel like that is true. I mean, guys do their thing every day, but then I do feel like guys take it way differently when a girl cheats. They don't let go of it.
Let me tell you why. Because we are in a dominant position sexually. We are on top of you. We like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So imagine inside another of you, guy like, on top of you. And especially if you know you're dealing with a freak. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, I know the nasty, disgusting shit you do to me. You fucking bitch.
So it's like an alpha thing, too.
Yeah, it's like, no, you better not, you know? Think about that, man. Think about, what if he fucked the dog shit out of you?
Right.
You got to think about it. In your mind, she did, playing that back.
Or she did illest shit to him that she's ever done. Oh, you did. God.
That's the first thing niggas ask, too. Niggas be like, so you suck this dick?
But
what you suck his dick?
But what?
another the realest song, shout out to Mario Winans, because I'm more... If you plan to keep it on the low, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Because if I find out, it's like, you can't repair that.
So you'd rather not know?
I'd rather not know. Like if you're going to play me, let me be a fool. Because if I find out.
I want to know, though.
I want to know
because I got to keep it moving. That's the only thing. See, the difference between men and women is different. A woman want to know and she ain't going nowhere. She in your phone and doing all this stuff and then just going to try to fight you and play. You know, me, if I want to know. So I can figure it out, because guess what? There's a million joints who really want to hang out.
Right.
A lot of fun I'm missing out on. Right. And you playing. I want to know so I can keep it moving. Not so I can torture myself and ask you why. So what? Nah, you did it? All right, cool.
But I think there's more possibility for and more room for forgiveness when a person does keep it real and honest and comes out and says, look, I fucked up. This is what, you know. Aren't you more willing to forgive a person once they do that?
It's different,
I would
man.
Think.
Watch too many movies.
It depends on if she sucked his dick. Man. So you just sucking dick willy nilly, huh? You just going around just any just okay. That's the type of girl I'm dating. This the type of girl who's the mother of my children. Just to put any dick in her mouth. Did you lick his
that
balls?
Makes all the difference.
Did you cuff his balls?
See,
you an old ball cuffer. That's the type of bitch you are. You know what? Your new name in my phone is BC, Ball Cuffer.
And then you gotta let her go.
I'm out.
Then you gotta let her go.
She gotta leave something.
Oh, shit.
All right, so we
that
got...
That really left, like, fast.
Shit, man, but some good-ass advice, though. Shorty got some good advice.
Yep.
I mean, it's true, though. You do have to find out for yourself with things.
It might
you know?
Be a way
and
out
that
of it
what
for
if
her.
Is, that's mm-hmm. true. That what if really
you definitely gotta
kills
say,
people.
And I think it's the smart thing to do. Just say, listen, I need a break. Let me figure some things out. Go over there. What if after a week you look at it and you realize, you know what? This ain't going to work. And you could just be like, you know what? Call him back.
I figured out what I need to figure out.
I figured out what it was. I was
Baby,
dealing
I'm
with
ready.
Something. Yeah. And even if you want to be honest, then look, I had my ex was coming around. I never want to be a liar. I never want to play games with you and be playing. So I went over there and we hung out. My ex, you know, and I just wanted to see what it was like.
And he'll be like, but did you suck his dick?
But the new nigga, ain't tripping that much. You know why? Because he ain't really all the way. He knew.
Yeah, they've been together a year, though. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah. that's a year.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Don't mention that. Then.
Yeah. You got one more?
Yeah. So there's another one that I really, really want to get into because it's really interesting. Actually, this one. She says, "I've been in and out of a relationship for 5 years now. It's been going great for the past year, and we spend almost every day together. We go out to dinner. We do normal couple things. But he's never said that I was his girlfriend." Nowadays, people don't really ask you to be their girlfriend anymore, but I feel like he doesn't want me around certain people or at certain events. But we are together almost all of the time, so what am I supposed to think? Am I in a relationship? Am I in a situationship? What do I do?
I'm going to tell you the key to that, and this is me giving a secret that guys may not want me to give away. She need to go out and be on a date with somebody and just tell him.
Purposely.
Oh, a friend of mine want to take me out, so we going to go. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, he going to pick me up around. He.
Who is he?
Oh, you know, we just hanging out. It's like, you know, a guy, you know, I be seeing sometimes from time to time. He cool, you know, we get along. And then he'll be able to be like, I don't want to be in this position no more. Because if you say, what are we? I don't want to. Mm. Don't play that game with him.
Yeah, you push somebody away saying
and
that.
And I know
though.
That's a mind trick, you know. In her mind, she really don't even want to see nobody, you know. But sometimes you just got to do that. Cause you just gotta be like, I'm sick of playing with you. Let me show you how it feels. And then the guy will be like, oh, okay, yeah, let's make this official. Cause I can't deal with that. And if he can deal with it, then there's two things. He'll feel himself like, damn, I ain't even tripping. Is she talking to somebody else? Say nothing to me.
But something wrong with her.
Why something wrong with her?
Cause this been going on for 5 years. Like if you ain't figured out in 5 years.
Oh, it's been 5 years. See,
she said 5 years. Yeah, you meant she said 5 years. Like
yeah, 5 years. She's definitely side piece.
5 years is even a lot for a side piece, though.
No. I'm saying you could be a consistent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think 5 years is.
Yes.
You should know where you stand.
You should know his whole family in 5 years. Yeah. All his friends, everybody. In 5 years.
She said even that she feels like he doesn't feel comfortable with her. What did she say? Certain events and stuff. You ever took a girl out and you go to an event and you. That's that moment where you're saying hi to somebody and you don't know how to introduce her.
Don't ask this man to incriminate. He just like, put a whole album incriminating himself. Like,
we're talking about past experience.
This is Melissa. Just say the name. Right. Oh, this is Melissa. That's when you know it ain't really all the way. You know, like, but you say, oh, it's my girl. And then she like, oh.
Butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless she flipping on you. I ain't know that shit. Like,
I think you're getting too heavy. Yeah. I don't really.
We didn't talk about this.
Didn't know we were that deep.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy, man. Nah, good looking for that, man. And if you have, you know, every week we're going to do this, so hit us up on the email. It's redlightspecialpc. The PC stands for podcast. redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. And hit us up on Twitter, too, RLS Podcast. On Twitter at RLS Podcast. And you know, every week we're gonna bring you some good advice, man. Like we had Mac last week.
Mm-hmm.
We had Rigo. Like these brothers ain't gonna steer you wrong, man.
You know, we're gonna try our best to say, you know, what we think is right. We ain't always right, but we got our opinions.
Or you could just listen to the album and get some life
Please
lessons.
Please get the album Turn the Lights On. It's in stores right now. Best Buy, FYE. Target wouldn't carry it because they had a new chick on the cover, and Walmart wouldn't carry it because of the nudity. But it's okay.
That was so tasteful, though.
I thought it was done tastefully.
It was done very tastefully.
But we respect that, and we understand. We're gonna come up with alternate covers for these people because we want everybody to be able to get the album. So I appreciate the love. Best Buy, FYE, Believing in a Young Nigga, and iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, you know, get the album.
Do you plan on doing anything from here or not? I mean, the album is already, you know, creating its own buzz and stuff, and, I mean, I love it. But do you plan on doing shows and...
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a tour in the works. We got a tour in the works. We're just figuring out spot dates. We're going to do Essence. We're going to do everything we can possible.
Essence is going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. I can't wait.
That's dope. Yo, a question though. Now you and your lady are back together?
Yeah.
Did she hear the album? What did she say?
It ain't easy.
Was that uncomfortable?
It's a very uncomfortable situation.
Do you just leave the CD with her?
I have not seen it since the album came out.
Was there anything on there she didn't know about?
Yeah. I haven't seen it since the album came out.
Has she heard it? I'm just... She might not want to know.
Yeah, she heard it.
Even if she told him that she didn't hear it, you know she heard it.
All her friends, you know. And I haven't seen it, not because I didn't see it, because I've been on the road since then, but it's just like, it's going to be real. It's going to be real when I get back. It's truth, though. And then, honestly, I feel so good now. You know what I mean?
What they say, the truth shall set you free.
Man, you just feel like...
Like this a weight is what had I was just dealing with. It's my honesty. It's
my, you know, a lot of things, especially with the proposal, you know, with my my views on marriage is really warped. You know, that's a whole nother podcast. But my views on marriage are really warped. And
might
I believe.
As well.
Yeah, man. Might as well get married. You so sick of me already. You want me to leave already. So hard to believe already. Because I know most married people I know are miserable.
Everybody says that, right?
What? I like this.
If we can't be happy, can we at least pretend?
Nah, man, that's not true, man. Go out there and get married, man. Marriage is great. Nah, I'm dead serious.
I mean, I think at one point everybody gets tired of, you know, going from girl to girl or even guy to guy, you
that
know.
That don't necessarily mean you gotta go from guy to guy and girl to girl just so you're not married.
Yeah, but I mean, I think even if you are like in a long-term relationship for 5 years and then that doesn't work out and you jump into another one, it's like, I think everybody's happy with actually finding somebody they're comfortable enough with to spend the rest of their life with and
paper.
Settle down.
It's just paper.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I don't believe,
I've had,
I mean, not
I've,
that I don't
I've
believe
had
marriage,
the same
but.
Management for 7 years. We never signed any contract. Every time the money come, like, they get their percentages on time. They never even got to ask for it. I get
that's
it to
trust.
Them before they send me the invoice. That's trust. Mm-hmm. They don't need no paperwork for trust. So with marriage, it's like, cool. And I can see with people, even Christians, and I'm a Christian, who says, oh, well, you got to get married in biblical. Okay, but let me tell you something. In the Bible, they say that anytime you have sex with somebody, you're married to them. It wasn't ceremonies back then. Like, you know, think about that. Think about it. Now you got some judge. You talking about this something that ordained by God and I got to go to the court for it?
Right.
Judicial system in America is of God?
Right.
Of course not. So we got to go to the court, do this business, and act like, and people are like, oh, well, you're sinning because you're not married. Okay, well, this is not real because the preacher is just talking. He can't really marry me. He's just a guy. Right. I have got to go to court to finalize this marriage.
Right.
So you want me to do paperwork and somebody, and I got to protect my assets. So now I say to myself, cool, I got to do a prenup so I can make sure this, and I got to negotiate. Oh, after 5 years, she get $2 million. After 10 years, she get $4 million. After 15 years, she get $20 million. So this, I got to negotiate.
It's like an NBA contract,
I got a headache right
I got to negotiate because of out of love. This is love. What happened to love? What happened to it being like, I love you so much. If it don't work out, here's a house. Here's a certain amount of money, and that's me being fair, and I love you, and, you know, wish you the best. No, it's like, I need to get half. And it'll be the best girl in the world. It'll be the girl who don't even ain't about the money, but it's her aunt, it's her sister, it's her mother.
Well, she's gonna want half because she could get half because the state told her she could get half.
And guess what? That's what your aunt gonna say. You're not doing nothing wrong. Is what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And she gonna be like, nah, I ain't gonna do him like that until she see you on the red carpet with a Spanish joint.
Why does it always have to relate back to a Spanish joint?
Because they
tell us.
Because that's what happens. It's like, oh, so you want to fuck with the Spanish bitch? Okay, I need half.
Right.
Because this Spanish bitch is not going to be able to be balling on my shit.
Like, she wrote half my raps. Imagine that. Yo, real quick, before we get out of here, man, because we're going
to
wrap up.
You know
up
a nigga can't wait to get a Spanish bitch after he didn't leave his joint. He's like, cool, I've been wanting to fuck with me. I got money now, too? You crazy.
Money changes everything,
that sound
man.
Like album number two right there. In first right. Song. Yo, let's talk about these raps real quick, man, because I think a lot of people sleep on you, you know, when you spit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remind me a lot of, and I don't mean to gas it, but like Mace a lot with the smoothness of your voice. Mm-hmm. And then we spoke about the honesty. It's a lot of the honesty that Kanye, I feel like, used to have. And these are two guys that early in your career you spent a significant amount of time with.
Mace raised me, you know what I mean? He used to just teach us so much, and we just was under Mace, you know what I mean? And Kanye, you know, being on a true tour with Usher, I was like with Kanye every single day for months, just running around. I was hanging with Kanye more than I was hanging with Usher on that tour. So,
and this is what, like 04, 05?
04.
So this is still like college dropout. This is early, yeah, Kanye. Early.
That's the first album. Yeah.
Something to prove Kanye.
So, you know, I could see those things, those comparisons, but I definitely know I have my own identity.
Of course.
But I think a thief steals, a genius borrows. A genius knows how to borrow from different people and make, create. Throughout the years, you start being around certain people, you start developing your own style based upon the people you've been around and the people that influence you. But yeah, I think those are true things. But a lot of times people don't respect me on my rap shit. They be, right. It's bugged out. Like how niggas be like, man, I don't want to hear you rhyme. And I be like, all right, print out my lyrics.
Right.
And print out your rapper, your favorite rapper you listen to right now, print out their lyrics and read them back to back. Read them back to back. Read the verse on Days Go By. Read my verse on Stay For The Kids. You know what I mean? Read my verse on Bad Attitude. Mm. And I want you to read your favorite rapper.
And you drop the whole rap mixtape too. Yeah. You're just dropping bars. You did the song with Mace and French, Grown Ups.
Yeah,
right, on French, on French's album. That's a Mac dope
and
record.
Cheese
too. I thought French should have saved that for his album.
I thought so too, and I was upset because I did that record for him, thinking he was going to do that. Then he calls me and said, "Yo, Daddy, I need that for the mixtape, Daddy."
Though I tell French like, every time, I'm like, "That was an album.
That should have been on a joint."
Yeah. And then, but you never. How come you and Kanye never talked about working together, man? I can see
I'm
that.
Be honest with you, man. I don't never see Kanye. Last time I saw Kanye, it was during Art Basel last year. He had an event that he was doing. He was speaking, and I went, and we made eye contact. He was like, "Oh, what up?" And that's it. But you know, Kanye told me years ago. He said, "You're a rapper's rapper." And he said, "It's back when I was signing Usher and I was, you know, doing my shit." And he said, "I said, yo, bro, can you do something for mom?" He said, "I got you. When your album come out, do something for mom." But now, if I saw Kanye, I would say, "Bro, I don't need you to get on my record. I don't need a feature. I need you to listen to my album." Just all I want you to do is listen to my album. And whatever. And I know when Kanye listens to something, he's moved to speak on it. And if he moves to speak on it, just say, "This album is incredible. I know that millions of people will hear it." And that's all I want.
Goes back to that word of mouth.
Word of mouth is the biggest promotion. I don't want nobody to tweet me so I can get more followers just for vain reasons. I need people to hear my music because I don't have no co-sign. I don't want nobody putting arm around me saying, "Introducing Rico Love." It's me doing it myself.
Right. Now, that's a fact, man, every step of the way. But now, I commend you for that, man, because, you know, I mentioned somebody like Kanye because his truth is brutally and honest. Mm. And a lot of times we don't want to hear it. And this is what we've been talking about for the past hour. Your truth. Mm. It's brutal and honest, no matter whether you want to hear it or not. And those make for the best songwriters to me, mm-hmm. and the best artists. And I feel like on Turn the Lights On, like, you've accomplished that.
Thank you so much.
On every song.
Every single one.
So what's next, man? What's up? We're going to get a video for something. I need to see these things play out.
I'm about to shoot a video for Days Go By and Run For Me and The Affair. I'm shooting videos for all these records because I want to just plant different visuals out there. You know, it's about doing the marketing yourself. You can't just only rely on radio. You got to really get out here and work and touch the people. So this is a real work. This is not me just doing records and putting out. Nah, I got to really work this project because overnight this ain't gonna be an overnight success. It's gonna be a real grind. I would love to my first week I come back with 200,000 sold, but I know that that's not necessarily a reality. But you know, I can just work, and every week it gets stronger, and every month it gets stronger, and somebody knows me. Like, just the fact today I did an interview and it went viral. Everybody picked it up, mm-hmm. and it was ridiculous, and it's the most talked about thing right now. And it's like, that's incredible. So you gotta keep doing stuff like that.
People that know you that don't really know what you've done. Some people don't know that the work that you're behind. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, you know, "Oh, what's he done?" And it's like, when you say what you've done and your list of songs that you've worked on, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But
it's one of my favorite songs, bro. It's dope.
Let's hold on to this moment. How long time only tells?
We ain't gonna give it all to him, though. You gotta go buy that. Turn the Lights On, Rico Love. Listen, give it up for Rico Love, man. Talented individual, friend of mine. You know, I feel honored to be able to be like, "Yo, that's my boy, and he's doing it." You know.
For real, man.
And I appreciate you coming through, man. You ain't have to. This is only our second episode. Mm-hmm. We building up. We catching our steam.
Anything,
and when I said,
anytime I get an opportunity to speak with you, brother, it's always, yeah, it's always a pleasure.
I said, Rigo, I need you to come through. This ain't the MTV thing, though. He said, I got you. Got he ain't you. Even questioning. So we appreciate that. And that's it, man. That's episode number 2, Red Light Special.
Turn the lights on.
Yeah. Rigo, you want to sign off? You want to tell them? Let's get some more Twitter followers, though.
When yeah,
yeah. Album sales. Tell them where they can
follow
find
you. Follow me at on Instagram at I Am Rico Love. Follow me on Twitter at I Am Rico Love. Follow me on Facebook at Rico Love Music. And go to RicoLove.com and get my album, Turn the Lights On iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Best Buy, and FYE. Turn the Lights On.
Yo, and real quick, whoever's on Twitter sitting on at Rico Love, you a sucker. You've been a sucker for years. He had to hit me like, yo, because I used to tweet out articles and tweet about at Rico Love because I just assumed he was like, bro, you sending to the wrong one. Like, it's I Am Rico. Like,
is it like a fake
standing of yours? Spanish guy.
It's just some dude. Probably took his girl.
It is, bro. It is. It really is.
He probably took his girl. That's what it is. He's like, nah, you never.
He be posting wild, crazy shit, too. I went on there one time. Let me see who got the Rico. I was like, this man got his legs all. Hey, what is this? Shit.
Come up off that,
that
man.
Sucks.
Come
on.
Give me that name back.
Chris.
Gotta take that name back.
Where can they find you at? You know?
At Chris Love on everything. That's KrisLovaA. And Kristen Coral on Facebook.
All right. Don't be out here smacking dudes. I heard about you. I don't know if it's a room or not. But I heard
only when the cameras is around.
Yeah.
Only on camera.
TMZ.
And, yo, this is Rob Markman. You can find me at Rob Markman. Again, follow the podcast. We need y'all support
at
RLS. RLS Podcast on Twitter. Until next week, man, and we're going to take you out with Jake and Papa Stallis. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.